September 3rd, 1:22, recording.
I'm glad for the change in the weather so that it's not so hot.
Okay, mine started. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to put mine in my pocket.
Did you mark the time on it? Did you tell it? You have to say the time.
I got it.
It automatically does.
Oh, it does.
Go ahead and...
Thank you. Hi, how are you?
Hello. Yes, we have an appointment with Marilyn Pigram.
Okay.
1:30.
Richard Kay.
Eleanor Kay and...
Vivian Payne.
I'm sorry?
Vivian Payne?
Yeah, I'm saying, who are you here for?
We're here to see the registrar.
For?
We made an appointment, we've got a survey which she agreed to, that is for the voter transparency.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is this your pen right here? Good night.
I do want to have an extra if you need. Wow. That's good. Oh, good. All right, thank you. I'll read it. Thank you. Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Mary Lynn.
Our student was not able to come, so.
Okay. This is a whole different ball game.
Well, yeah. I actually had a student from ODU, a friend of mine that takes care of my pets, and she was going to come, but this week is her first week.
Right.
And at the last minute, she said,
well,
she couldn't
come. I thought it was a teaching thing, not a.
Well, I'm a teacher. Okay. Does that count?
Well, I guess we'll call it whatever you want to.
No, but the purpose is also to educate students, you know, high schoolers.
Right, that's what I thought it was going to be.
Correct. So we did have somebody secure.
Okay.
But she couldn't make it. So.
And ours was the same way. We had one lined up and the school started early too.
And then I got a heads up from the other registrar. Some people had been recorded without being told. And it had been posted on the internet and all of this other stuff. And I thought, okay. What is this going to be? So my curiosity's quite piqued.
We certainly wanted to make sure that, you know, we were transparent, and I think the recording is actually a very good thing, because then you can refer back, you know, to the questions as well as what the responses are. It's sometimes it's difficult if you don't have that. And so what we would like to do, Vivian, is I'm going to give you a copy of the questionnaire.
Okay.
And that, of course, is yours. But this would at least give you a guide. Vivian will probably cover the first two sections, and then we'll get completed. And any questions or comments that you have at any point. I mean, this is only a guide.
I'm going to take a minute.
Okay.
It's easier for her to do that because we can concentrate on the conversation.
Okay.
But, and the first portion is just essentially how we're going to be able to itemize, you know, the time and the interview. But the other portions, which Vivian will begin, are part of what we want to find out from you, any concerns that you might have. Because I think that the more information that we can gain and be able to provide, it's going to make it easier for everybody to understand the process, because it's a complicated process.
It's extreme. When people have no clue what goes into it, the time, the effort, the energy. I mean, we basically have all turned our lives over to this process.
And we can appreciate it.
Yeah.
And we really do. We thank you for taking the time. This should. Relative to the questions, this should take about 20 minutes.
Okay, I saw the one you sent was like an hour or something.
Well, I think that was an awful lot of interaction that took place.
Well,
They may not know they were being recorded.
Well, I'm not sure, but I do know that there was a lot more question and more of the comments that followed.
Gotcha.
So without being able to put a time monitor on it, we could say that, you know, it would normally take about 20 minutes, but
sure, if you stick to the
there's time. there's no means of being able to say we're restricted to
sure.
that or that you would be. So Vivian, if you would like
yes.
to begin.
And thank you again. Really
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. And like you said, I've been learning a lot about this.
There's a whole lot.
There's a whole
None
lot.
None of us knew till we got here.
So thank you again for seeing us. The purpose of the program is to provide voters with accurate information about the election process. Your role as a registrar is very important to us because you're the one that ensures that everybody in Chesapeake sees the election as free, fair, and legitimate. And this is a project. We're not here to try to catch anybody. We're here in good faith. We're trying to learn as we go, basically. And that's why we try to get the students coming also.
Okay.
So just to let you know. All right, so I have a few general questions.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, what is your biggest concern about the upcoming election? Do you have one particular concern?
We have been inundated with FOIA requests, with questioning the system, and it's getting to the point that it's almost interfering with us getting the job done. While we want people to understand and we want to educate people, it just needs to be understood we've got a huge job ahead of us, too. And so we've been getting FOIA requests nonstop. There's been people, you know, just wanting documents and different things. And we have to stop what we're doing because we're restricted by law to answer within a certain amount of time.
What are the basic
They're wanting, like, results from different elections and then breakdowns of the results. Some have even asked about voter equipment contracts and things like that. And so then sometimes we have to stop and ask the state board, can we even provide this information, or are we breaching contracts and confidential? We're trying to protect the system.
Voter equipment contract, and, you know, put people's names on contact.
They're wanting, like, copies of our contracts, what version of software we're using and things like that. And while, yes, we want to be transparent, there is a security issue there as well with too much getting out.
Are these private citizens?
We don't always know. It's
Oh, yeah.
Usually presented to us as if it were.
Oh.
And I apologize, but that's why I was a little like, okay, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
What else? What else?
Because it
yeah.
is. It's just
like our time to do it, nothing like that.
Right.
Yeah.
But that is mainly what we're getting. And because with the FOIA request, you do have to be a citizen of Virginia. There's outside
right.
agencies using citizens to go and grab information from the registrar.
Okay.
And Matt did a FOIA request. So it has really been time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said that, just so that I understood, for you, you mean the Freedom of Information
I'm
Act.
Sorry, yes, we have a really bad habit of acronyms.
I know that
I
had no
I
clue.
Was just wanting it to be
Freedom of Information Act.
Right.
Yeah. They
okay.
can request certain documents, and we have to make copies. We have to respond within a certain amount of time.
Wow. That is time-consuming.
It is.
I can see it. Number two, any other concerns? But I think you mentioned
that,
quite a bit.
That's our main concern, being able to
right.
do the job we're here
on
to
time.
Do. Yeah,
okay.
On time, absolutely.
Number three, do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
Absolutely. We are very blessed here in Chesapeake. Our city government supports us wholeheartedly and gives us anything we need. We get resources from the state as well, so we're usually in pretty good shape, unlike some other areas, so I know that we're lucky, but
good.
Yes, we usually have what we need.
Number four, If not, are you missing anything? Do you feel like you're missing any resources?
No.
Okay. Number five. The county election board is supposed to consist of two Democrats and a Republican under a Democrat governor. But in some areas, we know, boards have had trouble finding willing Republicans and have appointed an independent instead, or another Democrat. What is the situation in Chesapeake?
We have two Democrats and a Republican. We have what we're supposed to do.
Great.
Good.
Number six, what about precinct staff? Are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans?
We have a balance on our chiefs and assistant chiefs within each precinct. However, beyond that, it is extremely lopsided.
Meaning?
We've always had more Democratic folks sign up to work the polls than Republican. We balance as best as we can, but it is part of the oath that some people can sign up to represent either party if need be. So while somebody may be signed up technically as a Democratic representative, if they've marked that box in their paperwork, we can use them as a Republican representative within that precinct. But we are good to go as far as chiefs and assistants. We have one of each.
Okay, so we're talking about poll watchers?
No, we're talking about poll workers.
Election officers?
Election officers, yes.
Okay.
The parties are supposed to supply the election officials, but we don't really get that. We end up hiring from folks coming to us wanting to work.
So you always need more election officers?
Correct.
Okay. All right, number seven. Is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year-round or mostly near election time?
Well, it's kind of hard to say. They're there if I need them, but it just kind of depends on what's going on at the time. Obviously, they're always around as we need them near elections, but if something pops up in an off-season, usually we just call a meeting and they're very willing to meet whenever I need them.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Great. All right, almost done with my part. Now I have just a few questions about voter roll. Number eight, when was the last time the voter file in Chesapeake was scrubbed or cleaned? Do you have a date, a number of dates since the last audit, by any chance?
That is a very complicated question because it's all handled at the state level. They receive, and I'm kind of looking down and thinking we're going to pick up some of these when I explain some of the others. Each year they do a mailing based on the national change of address list. That we get people respond to the questionnaire of which address is correct, the mailing address, the registration address. We get the stuff cleaned up there. If they do not respond to that particular piece of mail, and we do not hear from them otherwise, they end up inactive. Now, if they don't show up to vote or we don't hear from them to reapply or change your address or anything like that, they do get purged off the system after two federal elections.
That's 8 years. Federal elections the other four.
It's actually every
2. Okay. Are you talking about for congressional representatives would be 2?
So that's kind of a rolling basis on that. We get from Vital Statistics, they send the state information about deceased, and then it gets populated in what we call our hopper of our registration system, and we process those. That's monthly. And then the felons are sent to the state, and they put them in our hopper to process and remove. And that, I believe, is done monthly as well. So to say an actual
straight across the board.
Audit, mm-hmm.
It's right, there's different things going on at different
it's
times.
It's ongoing.
Oh, and it's ongoing, correct.
Okay.
Because we're always trying to keep it as clean as we can.
Okay. Well, number nine, does the health department or the Bureau of Vital Statistics sends a list of diseased people to your office every month so they can be removed from the border roll?
That was the one.
That was the
going point. To the state, and then the state passes it.
Okay.
In the system.
Okay. Number 10, when was the last time the clerk of courts submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on the basis of being a non-citizen?
Again, all of that is handled at the state level, and then we have them put in our hoppers to remove them as needed. So I would say that one would be monthly. I think the state sends that.
Okay. All right. Number 11. When was the last time you had access to the National Change of Address List or any other change of address list?
That was the one we were discussing that happens yearly. And it usually happens around July, I would say. So it would have been 2 months ago.
Okay. Number 12, are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
As best as it can be with the information we are provided. I mean, I'm certain there are people moving and not updating their information and things like that, in which case they have to go through the process before they can be removed from the system.
Any major concern?
No major concern.
No? Okay. Thank you. Number 13, how many households in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address? Do you have a number?
I do not know that answer.
You find that as the information can be done, you find that there are a lot of people, or you don't know.
Not unless it's like a assisted living or something like this, but not as far as a specific address, as far as people that are not being cared for. Okay.
Well, would it be possible for you to look it up and email back?
If I can get my hands on that information and find out, none of them stand out to me. I've never been asked by any of the workers, you know, that looks suspicious or anything like that. But if there is a way for me to go in and find, I have to contact the state and find out if there's a way for me to pull that information.
Okay. And my last question, number 14, during registration, how do you verify that voters are U.S. citizens?
That one is one of the questions in the registration form, and they are finding under penalty of law that they are, and then the DMV, when they register there, there's some question they ask them, and then we end up with a list of those who have said they are not citizens, and then they go and remove from how they answer the question at DMV if it's a no.
Do you ask for photo ID?
We're not allowed to do that any longer.
Really?
That changed about a year ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The last time we voted, we had people who haven't voted this year yet.
You have to show ID. Everybody has to show ID, but it doesn't have to always be photo ID. They took that requirement off last year.
But there has to be some sort of ID.
Correct.
I have to draw the driver's license and stuff.
Yes, there's a whole list on the State Board of Elections website that you can get. It's an entire list of the different documentation.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Pass it to you.
Okay, I'll try to. If there's a group, then you just tell me that.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
Because you had mentioned something about this and the other information that was being requested through FOIA.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But essentially.
This here should be fine, yeah. It's not moving specific.
What we see, apparently through other registrar's offices, and we find out that there are actually more than 3 types of voting machines that are used. In fact, I think there's about 5. can you enlighten us on which machines are used?
It's HART, H-A-R-T, InterCivic, and it's the Verity system.
Verity?
Mm-hmm.
V-A-R or
V-E-R-I-T-Y.
Okay. HART.
InterCivic.
I-N-T-E-R.
C-I-V-I-C. That's the company, and the specific system we use is Verity.
V-E-R-I-T-Y.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that in the entire state, or is that?
No, it's by locality. We choose.
For Chesapeake.
Mm-hmm, that's just Chesapeake.
Also, who calibrates the voting machines? And I know that is a, I mean, that's almost like a vendor process, but how do you?
We always have the vendor to do the calibrations. We, they're calibrated when, you know, of course you buy them, but mm-hmm. then we have a maintenance where they come, I believe it's every 3 years, to come in and recalibrate, change batteries. There's like a whole maintenance process they do, and we try to group it all at one time.
Now,
what does Sherry want to
make? Actually, it will be, but it'll be after the first of the year. After this election.
So it'll be January.
Around January.
When this is done, the calibration, are there invited party representatives that come?
This part kind of confused me. I was wondering if y'all are talking about the logic and accuracy testing, because that's done each election.
The logic and
accuracy testing, that's done before each election, and we do invite party representatives for that.
Okay, and but that would be, for example, in this case, that would be ahead of the actual calibration?
That would be before each election. Yes, yes. Yes, so the logic and accuracy.
So basically,
that'll
just
be in October. Mm-hmm.
They're just looking at essentially what the program would be, but they're not there to see it when it's calibrated.
Right.
Okay. So I guess the answer there would be no, because they're not invited at
the
time.
Can you put don't know?
I put in there.
Because I don't know which they're talking
I
about.
I put down next calibration table for October, because that's what you just said.
No, the next logic and accuracy testing is October. The calibration
October,
is January.
October this year.
Yes, ma'am.
Right, next month.
October 2021, and then the next one.
The calibration is January.
January 2022. January 2022. Question 18.
Our answers. I think what they do is they then compare our answers with what you do here with what other districts do.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the purposes of this, to see if there's a big disparity or a big difference in how the different districts handle these things.
Okay.
So I think that that's what they do with our answers that we get from you, is compare it to answers from other. And if there's something that jumps out, then they can address it.
Okay.
18 has an A and B section. One, voting machines ever connected to the internet?
Our voting machines are never connected to the internet, and our electronic poll books, even though they're on laptops, they're never connected to the internet.
Okay, so that
so
just bears, how do they actually update them if they don't use the internet?
They use the thumb drive from the original machine that they have downloaded the information from. They put the information to be put into the software on a thumb drive, and then take that thumb drive to each individual machine to download that election's poll book.
And is that thumb drive made available to every registrar?
It's individual to each location.
Oh.
It's from the registration system. We download the information from the registration system.
So you basically are downloading it into the thumb drive?
Yes.
And providing it to them?
And we load it on the laptop.
Okay.
And then it's the laptop.
They pull it from the laptop
mm-hmm.
to the thumb drive. Okay. Okay, these are essentially COVID-based questions.
Okay.
As an election professional, do you think the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID have weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or made no change in election integrity?
The changes that were made based on COVID ended up becoming laws that are going to be here forever. So I do feel like it made the process easier for the voters. I would not say it weakened the integrity. I wouldn't say it strengthened it either. It just made it easier for voters to access voting.
Okay. So if I were summarizing, I would say it really didn't make a major change as far as the process. It just made it easier for the voter?
Yes.
Okay.
Harder on us, but easier That's on what the I was voter. Thinking.
Right. And this question in 20A is, did you receive any funding or in-kind contributions for training, staff, voter education, or equipment, or any other purposes from outside of the state of Virginia?
No.
Okay.
We received some from the state of Virginia. The Department of Elections received monies from the CARES Act.
Right,
and there was part of it split up, and we got a portion of that. But that's the only outside the locality money we received.
Okay. The money that is from the CARES Act, and this is just my own question,
sure.
As a, I guess, an extension, is that enumerated as far as the way that each particular office can use it, or is it designated?
There were guidelines, but each locality was able, as long as they stayed within their guidelines, to use it in the way they chose.
Okay.
As long as it stayed within the guidelines.
All right. Effective. I think this is where the, you were just mentioning something about voter signature verification.
Mm-hmm.
That effective July 1st, which was just a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
Senate Bill 1097 eliminated the requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor, Ralph Northam, has now rescinded the state of emergency, or at least from what we understand.
Sure.
How are you training your staff to ensure that there is a signature match for the upcoming election?
Well, we haven't started training yet, for one thing, just so, but we were used to looking for the signatures in before COVID. We just had to let them know when it was not a factor, that it couldn't be rejected for lack of a witness signature. So we're just going back to
what you did
what
before.
What we did before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So essentially, he just sort of interrupted what your procedure was.
Well,
and
it just
back.
We just didn't reject any for if that was the only problem with it. It just meant they were less rejected.
Right.
So you would not reject. A ballot for lack of a signature.
If the voter signature was missing, then yes, ma'am, but not a witness.
Okay.
During the
voter yes, witness no.
Correct.
And if I may, how do you actually, I just don't know the answer.
Sure.
How do you make sure that that signature looks like what it's supposed to look like?
We do not have signature matching in Virginia at this time.
You don't?
We do not.
Have you ever had it?
No. I see it coming down the pike, but we don't have it at this time.
So you accept any signature? You assume?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
It's a big one, and that's why I say I see it coming down the pike, that we will probably end up with some type of computer system that checks it against their registration signature or such.
Okay. Thank you.
If somebody gets their driver's license, pretty much, I mean, sometimes we scribble it a little bit differently, but if you have your driver's license with your signature on it, And then, is there something on the ballot that they have to sign?
They sign a statement of voter, the mail-in ones do, sign that envelope when they send it in with their information and they put a signature.
Question?
But that's, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's the only person signing anything. Like, when they go to the polls, you don't sign anything.
Right.
When you vote early, you don't sign anything. So that would only apply to those voting by mail.
Like an absentee ballot?
Right.
Question 22 has to do with the drop boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be not only a lot of, but growing concern in Virginia, across the country, about the security integrity of the ballot drop boxes. How do you explain the chain of custody procedures for ballot drop boxes?
Well, we have umpteen drop boxes now. There are ones in the early voting sites that stay with the election officials and the voters come in and drop it in. And it's only available when the early voting's open. And then the precincts are the same way now because they can drop them off at the precinct on election day, but only when the officers are there with the drop box. The one we have here has a video camera set up on it that's recording.
Are they placed outside or inside the building?
It's outside. It's outside.
They
the
are.
Parking. You'll see it in the parking lot. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they recorded us on the can.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right, so that,
I mean, if you walk near the box, it's directed right on the box. It doesn't show the whole parking lot.
I see.
Just,
right, just
where the box is. Yeah. So that if there were a question, we could go back and pull from the video footage.
Well, that's good, though.
Are those the same that you had for the past election?
Yes. We have had that a year now. It'll be a year in November.
Any problems?
No. Mm-mm.
That you know, not only Chesapeake, but in general?
No, and I mean, there's such a teeny tiny slit.
Okay.
I know that people are worried about people putting stuff in there, but I mean, that thing is teeny tiny. You couldn't get your hand or anything in it, you know, that kind of thing. And it's a big box, so it drops.
Mm-hmm.
And we check it twice a day during the election. It's actually, I think, still locked right now. I've got it locked because we're not accepting that.
Right.
Is there any time during that last election the drop box did not have to go on there?
No, it's constant. It's one of them we had installed when we had the whole building, or the whole office, not the building, the office with secure cameras. That's just one of them that feeds in with the same system so we can see.
So pretty secure cameras?
Yes, ma'am.
The ones that are either in the precinct or wherever their early voting is provided, those don't necessarily have the video?
They don't have video because they're sitting beside an officer of election.
Okay.
And they're not there if there's not an officer.
There's
like, you couldn't go in after early voting and drop a ballot in.
Okay.
It wouldn't be available.
Oh, okay.
Right.
What do they do? Just move the drop box, or they just close
It's locked up with all of the other early voting equipment.
And then there's a slot of open for them, so they close the slot.
Well, it's put. It's locked up, put away. They can't even see it.
The whole box.
Yeah, it's the whole box.
Oh, the whole box is moved.
Yes.
Oh,
ma'am.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Okay.
Well, getting back to the video portion.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said that, I believe you said they do it twice daily?
We empty that box twice daily.
Okay.
The ones at the early voting sites, we send the technicians around to pick those up once a day.
Who actually reviews the video? And are there any party observers?
Party observers are not reviewing the video, and the video is sent the recording is to the police station, so you would have to subpoena that for it. If there was a question of a certain time, they'd have to go back and find that.
So the police would actually have the report?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I mean, yes, sir. Sorry.
Oh, don't worry about that. basically to strengthen public confidence in the integrity of elections, what we hope to expand our observation efforts and the questions that follow the remaining four or five, basically are the training capabilities and what can be done to help. So if we're looking at providing training and support or designating us to provide training and support for an Election Day page program, that's where students have been brought in. And our desire would have been to have had a student present that could have been included in this part of what was being asked.
Sure.
So even though they're not present, we still want to provide the information. The PAGE program is described in 24.2-604.3, which is the program that's initiated by the state.
Right.
So that question is, I think, pertinent because we'd like to be able to get the younger voters or pre-registered voters involved in the process.
Mm-hmm.
And if they understood more and they had training available, then I think it would make it would be a much more participating program. We'd get more of the younger, you know, students into. So how do you see that? I mean, is there training and support that would be provided? Or
we could. If the need was there, I would be happy to help with that.
Okay. And by the way, when we say if you would designate us to provide training and support, we would actually have materials that you would be able to review and see that what we're actually presenting to them is the same basic formatting that you would like to have them trained in.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. 26 is, would you authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives as described in? That was the upper portion, but that's 5A of that particular act.
So the first part is students, the second part would just be observers?
Right, it would say election observers on a nonpartisan basis, and these would not be necessarily election officials.
They so not election officials and not party observers.
But they couldn't be in the PAGE program because they're not students.
I would need to check with the Department of Elections and make sure on that one, because there's a strict list of who can be in the polling place at any given time. So
well, let me give
as long as it was within legal.
Right. I give you an example. Suppose that a parent wanted to come to that type of session to observe along with their
absolutely
student.
You mean for the training or for the election day?
Well, essentially it would just be for the time frame of the training. They could gain the training as the student would.
Yeah, that would be
because
fine.
I think this essentially is observing the training, not the election itself.
Right.
Okay, then 27 is pretty much a follow of that. Would you authorize international nonpartisan observers from recognized election monitoring organizations?
Again, I would check with the Department of Elections to make sure we were within legal standards there.
Okay. 28, have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open? And also to receive in-person absentee ballots?
I have let them know about the logic and accuracy testing. I usually send another packet of information to them with the logic and accuracy testing dates and times and things like that about 30 days out from an election. I send that whole package to the party chairs and independent candidates.
Okay, so 30 days if the election's November 2nd, did we have it out in the early part of October?
Right.
Okay. And this pertains to materials. Do you have a publication that you provide to your election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers?
Yes. We use the State Board of Elections do's and don'ts for authorized representatives.
Okay. So the distribution portion of that is not even pertinent because you do provide it. All right. Well, that was, I hope that it was thorough and also informative. Do you have any other questions or comments?
No.
If there is any during the process, we will have our contact information, and we will be more than happy to help, but not to overwhelm you with. I think that part of the reason. Part of the reason for being able to do this in sort of a consolidated manner is to eliminate interruption too much in your schedule, and we do appreciate that you would take the time. I think, just so that you understand the process, I explained part of it. What we do, the recording portion, will be uploaded to a Dropbox, which is just a method of being able to receive files.
Okay.
We will scan the written portion of the answers so that even though we know that she's written them down, there may be something that's an example or an extension of a question that didn't get fully covered in the printed portion, what I'm saying, the written, so that they have both.
Okay.
And that will be available to you.
I was going to say, can I review that just to see if there's any corrections or changes?
You'll be able to see it on the site.
Okay.
And once you do, if you have any comments or anything like that, feel free to do it because it gives you access to that.
Okay.
I have one other comment.
Sure.
And that is that in making initial contact, and especially at the time of year when things are becoming even more accelerated for your office.
Yes, my office doesn't usually look this bad, I promise.
No.
I'm a very neat Nick, and now I've got a mess going on.
Used to be very well
organized. It looks very organized, so you're okay.
But I appreciate that we were able to make this appointment in a fairly quick time frame, because I know that in a couple of weeks things are going to become much different.
Yes, it'll be quite different.
So it's good that you would take the time, and we will give you it will probably be next week that the information will be uploaded to the website.
Okay.
I'll send you an email.
That'd be great.
That will not only give you access to the site, but you'll be able to pinpoint that particular interview.
Okay.
And we thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And if you have any questions when you're doing the remote meeting, just email me. Okay. Email's the best way. Because sometimes when I'm doing stuff during the day,
I can't
stop. But at night, when I'm home watching TV or something, I'll catch up on emails and stuff then.
Right.
So,
well, it's always easier. It's good to know that there's more of an open means of discussion.
Sure.
Because we really like the ability to have that transparency, and you've been commended for that.
Very gracious.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have one question.
Yes.
Is it too late to sign up for election officer?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Speaking of which, I did sign up, but I'm having problems with it online.
Oh, okay.
So is Keith here?
He is here.
I need to see him.
Okay.
So the training is here, or the training is online?
Well, it was online last year because of COVID, but we are transitioning back to in person.
Oh,
okay, so I can have it on in person.
Yeah. As long as things stay open right now. I mean, if things start shutting down, you know, we may have to transition back. But as of right now, we're planning.
And it has to be done by what date?
I'm trying to think what date he's doing it. Usually he goes 2 to 3 weeks before the election.
So it isn't just one-on-one, we're going like both of us together to do a training?
He does a group at a time.
A group training,
yes,
okay, well that's good. Okay.
Yes,
absolutely. I'm having trouble with the online portion.
Yeah, let me go. Will
that interfere with your office now?
Well, we had the room across the hall set up for him to have training on site, and it worked out perfect for a while. But then when we started the early voting 45 days out, we had to repurpose that room. So he's back over at the library having to do
more space.
But he does have
to. But we're using that for early voting too, so he's got to use a different room there.
But he's here today?
He is.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
So that'll be good. So we'll get a chance to meet him.
Sure. Thank you. I started the process a couple weeks ago when I got to the online.